Happy Monday, y'all. Welcome to IT Live, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Tex Homer. That is Eric Nalin. And down low, Coach Dub. We had a cool weekend. Of course, we had the scrimmage. We're going to talk about that. And also another recruiting weekend. It seems like we're kind of stacking those lately, which is nice. So we're going to discuss all of that. But before we do that, guys, InsideTexas.com, that's the place to be. $1 for 4 months. It's a steal. And that'll get you into fall, it's looking like. So join the best site, guys, for recruiting. And also, don't forget, baseball, number one in the nation, baby. So it's not just fall sports, guys. Spring sports. Check it out. Inside Texas, $1 for 4 months. Let's get after it, fellas. Good morning, Roaster. You must have notifications on, man.
You got to,
man, because we started at 9 the other day, and you were also here. So you got to be getting notified. You know what's up. All right, let's start with scrimmage notes, Eric.
What you got?
Apparently, we had a pretty physical practice, which I think
the defense. The defense got off to a hotter start, and then the offense sort of caught up. It ended up being pretty even throughout, and then as far as the scoring portion goes, the offense won it on a last second field goal inside the red zone. They did this thing called red zone lockout, where a touchdown is worth 7 points, of course, but a stop on downs is worth 7. A turnover is worth 7 for the defense.
Yeah.
And even I think the defense, yeah, there's a number of ways that the defense can score. And then, you know, it was very close, and the offense won it with a field goal, apparently. Yeah, throughout the day, Arch started off a little bit slow. But for Arch, you know, that's not a huge concern. You still have to defend the whole field with Arch because he's going to take off and run it. Worst case scenario when he starts off a little tedious is that he's just going to run and use his legs, take advantage of the space given to him by the defense and still pick up yards. Jeff G asked who kicked it. I imagine it was Will Stone. He's the number one kicker right now. So yeah, I imagine Will Stone kicked it. Nothing kicking in practice really matters. You know, it's just not the same level of intensity. You know, you're not going to have the nerves, you know, some of those putts you saw get missed yesterday, in the final round of the Masters are not going to get missed on the range. It's just a lot different, lot different environment. So, yeah, you know, this team sounds like it's pretty evenly matched. You know, some of that can vary depending on, you know, one day the defense might be installing something new and the players are a little bit rusty on it, or you've got some inexperienced guys that are still learning it. And the same goes for your offense. So you never know what you could factor the give and take for. But overall, definitely physical practice. We heard, you know, had a source say the team is more physical this year, just not quite as mature.
That's interesting. And you had a note on IT a couple days ago that Texas is looking for a kicker in the portal.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to leave it to chance with, you know, Will Stone and Bert Auburn. You know, you can't say that you're going all in on Arch Manning, and then, you know, the season could boil down to a 42-yard field goal on the last play of the national championship game. That would not be far-fetched, right? We saw how the SEC championship game unfolded. So now they can't really leave it to chance.
And that's what was so weird about this year is we didn't think we were leaving it to chance, you know, and then the switch happened with whatever happened. You know,
I feel terrible for Auburn because he's kicked some massive kicks for Texas, and he's not quite remembered for it because Texas wasn't able to hold on to him. You know, Alabama in 2022, he kicks a huge kicks a huge field goal, and Texas gives up the lead late. OU in 2023, Texas was it 2023? Yeah, 2023. The game starts off with the offense turning the ball over, high scoring game. Texas takes the lead, give it up on the last second drive. Auburn should have been the hero there. He's had a couple other instances. Texas Tech, the Bijan fumbles in overtime, Texas loses, but. You know, Bert Auburn's the one that sends that game to overtime. He had some massive kicks. It just, you know, and it's just such a mental game. You don't know when they have it and when they don't.
Yeah, and like you said, there's no way to know until you're in the SEC championship. You know, it's like that's what sucks about trying to evaluate a kicker, man. And you need them in this, like, strange headspace, like Dicker, where they almost don't even realize they're on a football field. You just need them, like, that detached. So Arch Manning starts out slow. What does that mean? Just like incompletions, like kind of what it just not super hot.
Not making great reads. Accuracy wasn't there. Timing was a little bit off, you know, not in sync with the receivers. And some of that can obviously have something to do with the receivers themselves. You know, they're very, very young. We didn't even hear a lot about the receivers overall. You know, Kalik Lockett had a couple of times where he moved the chains. But, I think not having his number one receivers is going to have a downward effect on Arch's overall spring. You know, I mentioned the other day, we're not going to learn anything new about Arch until probably August when he's got his two starters back. And then, obviously, we expect a transfer portal, maybe even two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another DJ Campbell note that we keep hearing. So what? Yeah,
we keep hearing it. And Sark, I like it when Sark goes public with what we're hearing as well, because, you know, just it gives you even more confidence. And then you see the pictures. You know, we got some of our own visual evidence of what we're hearing. He looks great, moving people around. Yeah, he was the number one offensive player mentioned after the scrimmage. And it doesn't happen often that a guard is going to be the number one guy you heard about. But they were doing some good tough running inside the red zone. Trey Wisner got a mention again, second mention of the last week. Yeah, they're running the ball tough. You know that's what you want to hear with this, because if they can get the inside run game going, I think everything else on offense is going to fall into place.
It's going to be huge. It's that's going to be the key to everything. But are we nervous zero sum, right? We're like, do we like to hear that they're running it up the interior?
Yeah, zero sum is always a concern. But, we heard some good things about Brevard. After I had these notes, I heard something else that was good about him. And Travis Shaw, I mean, those guys are massive. So I think bare minimum, they're going to be SEC average against the run. I think they're going to be better than that this season. But, you know, they're pretty well-known players. And then Hero Canoe, physically mature. You know, I'm not – zero sum is definitely a consideration, but it's not like – it's not like we're getting an entirely false read.
Cool. And then this note, Colin Simmons is the best player on the team.
Hands down.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody that we talked to that had seen practice comes away talking about him right away. You know, edge rusher, but also being able to run step for step with a running back out of the backfield. If you look at I've compared him to Will Anderson. Now, Will Anderson's body went in a little bit different direction than I think Collins will. And they had Will playing inside, you know, play 4-eye at times, where I don't think you're going to see that out of Texas with Colin. But if you look at Will's freshman year, Collins mirrored his. Actually, Collins was better than Will's when you break it down per snap, production per snap. And then Will Anderson absolutely exploded for like 17 and a half sacks the second year. And then the third year, everybody in college football kind of caught on to him. You can't let that guy beat him. The sack numbers dwindled quite a bit. He was still very effective. I think you're going to see that big breakout for Colin this year, where he's going to have 14, 15 sacks. Everybody knows he's going to be a top five pick and a three-year player. Right now, he's the best player on the team.
Yeah, his get-off's insane.
Three and out.
Easy. Coach, anything from the notes that are standing out?
Just follow what Eric said about Colin Simmons. Everybody who's either been at practice from recruits, everybody, Colin Simmons, just he's the man. Like, he's undeniable, right? The best player on the team, so hands down. I'm excited about this next part. I'm ready to hear about my boy Elijah Barnes flying around, man, having an impressive day.
Yeah. Might have the most impressive day.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And then Grayson Littleton also has been mentioned several times. And if you watch his huddle, you can see that – well, I don't think he was playing against great competition, but he was doing what you do against great competition.
Technique. Yeah, I'm not surprised that we had a really good source when they got him. I was unfamiliar with him. I mean, I knew him, you know, randomly through a 7-on-7, and I talked to him before in person. And, when I talked to him, like, good Lord, this is – kids like this normally end up at Texas, but he wasn't a Texas kid. He was a Florida kid. Ended up committing to Clemson. Once he committed to Clemson, you know, we got – the word that he was going to flip or looking at flipping, we started doing a lot of homework on him. And, you know, I asked the source, I said, you know, if Malik Muhammad is a 10 out of 10 on a Malik Muhammad scale, you know, what's Grayson? And he said, you know, 9, 9.5. He said, you know, and he's faster than Malik. So if you come in, you kind of have Malik's focus, even if it's not quite as driven as Malik's. Malik's is next level. But you're right there in line with it, and you've got the discipline as a player, and you've got good technique, and then on top of it, you have better speed than Malik. And if you're willing to mix it up like Malik has always been a willing scrapper, you know, obviously, yeah. If you're going to play for South Oak Cliff, you've got to be able to throw your pads around. Everything with Littleton is we're hearing great. And the fact that they put him at star right away, it tells you, A, they feel very confident in his mental evaluation, his ability to process the field. But also in his physicality. And so everything we're hearing about Grayson is great. bright future. It still wouldn't surprise me if he ended up going back out the corner at some point, just because I think he's got really dynamic cover corner skills. But everything, very bright future for him.
Yeah, he's a smart kid too. They did a, I guess, like the freshman on the 40 series or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he was doing a lot of the talking and the interviewing. And I was like, this kid is smart, man.
Yeah.
With it. Yeah, he's a lot of his audio.
He sounds like one of those ex-athletes that'll go on and do, you know, play-by-play or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
Yeah. I was like, oh, he's smart too. And then Winston. We're hearing a lot of stuff about Winston too. Tied in is a year away from being downright filthy. I think in another piece or a tweet or something, you said it'll be the best in the nation next year or something like
2026.
That.
2026. Yeah. People are like, you can't project that far out. That's exactly what I do. I'm looking at the pieces, and I'm not just looking at the pieces. We build these profiles of them. You know, we start learning about a lot of these guys as juniors in high school. The people we talk to know them as well as you could possibly know them for these pursuits. You know, Nick Townsend, would anybody be shocked if Nick Townsend becomes one of the best tight ends in the country? He'll be in year two. Jordan Washington will be in year three. We're hearing great things about Emory Winston as far as being savvy. One of the things I talk about all the time at tight end is you can make up for lack of being a basketball athlete at the position by being savvy, understanding where to sit in coverages. Look at how many guys are in the Hall of Fame. Jason Witten, my Lord, Jason Witten was downright unathletic and was willing to mix his body, throw his body around, but also very smart, on the same page with the quarterback, knew where to be, when to be. Amari has those savvy traits where he's really good getting open quickly.
Yeah. Don't need a portal tight end for 20. Yeah, we're not arguing that. We're not arguing.
That's why I'm talking about 2026 with that group. They need a portal tight end. They might even need two. I'm worried about this year, and then I'm not worried at all. We see these rooms flip overnight. Look at how Edge went from a concern. Oviagufu had like, you know, one sack, and then the next year Edge looks good. You know, it turns around that quick, as long as the pieces are there to develop, because they do develop and they evaluate well. So, you know, it's just about buying enough time with the portal to get the room right.
Yeah. But we are hearing several things about Winston. Smart player.
I like it. His tape is good. He's got flypaper hands too. You know, it's kind of I'm not going to say he's as fast as Boskaife, but I think he's got a similar game to Boskaife.
Yeah. I called him baby Antonio Gates Jr., man. When I saw him at 707 last year.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah, Algie Crumpler minus 40 pounds. Yeah. Like those guys. Yeah, they. You know, he has really good movement skills. I think somebody said the other day that he's kind of like Jatavion Sanders with the way he moves. You know, Jatavion was really coordinated. I think Emory has that. He's a good route runner and fly paper hands.
And then linebacker continued to be a team strength. Brad Spence on his read and react ability, aka what you need to be a linebacker.
Yeah, playing linebacker.
Yeah. And so he was with the twos. So behind Hill, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's, you know, the second they got that pick, I was so hyped up just because, you know, he's got a very high floor as somebody that you can just use as a point and shoot weapon to get after the quarterback situationally. But ideally, the ceiling would be for him to become the player that we're starting to hear about, read and react. Real linebacker stuff. You know, they're going to rotate the linebackers that, you know, especially early in the season, Anthony Hill's probably gonna have games where he plays 30 snaps earlier in the season, those non-con games. You need somebody. It's like having a middle reliever that can eat pitches. You need Brad Spence to go out there, take some of the workload off Anthony Hill, also become better, because there's going to be a good chance that that's his job in 2026. That's, you know, it's not locked in by any stretch. Bo Barnes, we heard a lot about Bo Barnes after the scrimmage. And you've got the potential that Leonga could go to Mike. So it's not set in stone. But at minimum, we know that Brad Spence can get after the quarterback. Now we're starting to hear, hey, he can do some real linebacker things. We've heard about him being pretty good in coverage too, which is very encouraging.
Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah, buddy.
And then you said it up front, but I want to hit it again. This team is more physical than 2024, but not as mature.
Yeah, they got a guy. You know, I think I was a bit surprised because you start hearing about Jadae Barron, a very physical player for his size. Andrew Makuba was throwing his body around too. Andrew Makuba was running downhill like I was never expecting. I think that's the mindset. But then, you know, Jordan Johnson Rebell is seeing the field a lot more, and he's a very physical player. Malik Muhammad being a second year, another year older, is going to bring that more physicality to bear. Michael Taft putting on some weight. That's going to bring more physicality to Barry. Always had want to. Leonga LaFalle putting on a little bit of weight. This, you know, having more time under tension in the strength and conditioning is going to make you more physical player, more fast and more violent. Colin Simmons, he's a physical player. There's no doubt about it. I think the D tackles that they've added are more stout, or at least their play style is more physical up front. You know, we knew Vernon could play with some violence and all that, but
yeah,
you were still able to move him a little bit more. And, you know, even the same goes for Alfred Collins, depending on how motivated he was rep to rep. These guys are a little bit bigger and more stout up front, Brevard and Travis Shaw. And, you know, I think the young guys, Jelani McDonald, a year older, that guy, he's a physical guy. He's a hitter. So, you know, just I think it's, you know, a lot of the same players are there, but another year of strength and conditioning, another year of confident, playing confident and fast is going to lead to more physicality.
Yeah. True. And this seems like a young team.
The depth is really young. You still have a lot of experience. Even, you know, I mean, if you look at the O-line, that's those guys are – they're young when if you look at starts. They're not necessarily young if you look at how long they've been in the program. But a lot of the young guys, and I think that's why we're seeing such an energetic spring, or hearing about an energetic spring, is because so many of the young guys are fighting for snaps.
Yeah.
You got – man, look at corner. You've got guys that are barely going to touch the field that would start at – a lot of schools. Yeah. There's just a lot of energy to it. And physicality is part of the game. You know, you got to be physical to play wide receiver for them. If you don't block, you're not going to play. You know, ask Isaiah Bond. So, you know, physicality is a big part of it. That's why, you know, this goes back to an early understanding I had of Sark, where he came in with that reputation of being an offensive-minded head coach. But then you start hearing about the culture within the program. And you never really saw him devalue defense in favor of offense like we've seen Venables do for him. Of the ball, yeah. At the expense of the other side of the ball, and so sorry, that's why I've been calling him a total football coach. You know, we should probably do a show about the total football coaches that are out there. Sark is certainly one of them. Whereas, you know, like 10 years from now, you might not know if he was an offensive coach. You know, it's kind of like Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops was a defensive coordinator at Florida. He was awesome there. I think was he K State before that? Great defenses everywhere he went. And then there was a stretch where all you knew about OU was their offense.
Offense.
Right now, look at Texas defense. Defense carried the day for the offense and special teams last season. Normally, when a head coach's side of the ball doesn't live up to expectations, the whole team is going to suffer. That's not the case. Texas made a semifinal team driven by the defense.
Yeah, I think that's the most unique point of Sarkisian's reign is his ability to CEO and not neglect. Yeah. The defense. I mean, that's really what set him apart.
It's very hard for a lot of coaches or people do in general to change their habits of who they are, right? You know what I mean? So that's kudos to him for that.
A lot of the air raid guys, they couldn't get over the hump because you know, the way practice was structured was, you know, put defense behind the eight ball. We've seen Texas have some head coaches where it seemed like they were way more focused on their side of the ball. Charlie Strong would fist pump when the defense would beat up the offense in practice. And everybody else in the room was like, hey, coach, you know, that's your side of the ball too, boss.
But I think you made a great point that there's structural problems there. Like when you run air raid style practices, you're putting your defense at a disadvantage. I also think, too, with Sark running a pro-style offense, the defense ends up having to defend. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, when you're playing scout, but they have to defend the run and the pass equally. That matters,
man. Yeah.
And then there's the iron sharpens iron, where they have elite wide receivers, but look who they're being covered by. They're being covered by elite cornerbacks as well. You got Colin Simmons going up against Kelvin Banks in practice. I mean, good Lord. That's just going to make both sides of the ball better.
Yeah, like you were saying, we have guys at corner who could start that are, you know.
Yeah. Anytime we can talk negative about Lincoln Riley, I'm here for it. his main problems have always been culture. I go to the same speaking event for about the last decade, every Thursday, first Thursday of every month. And it's a bunch of big time UT fans. And man, there was years on end where I would hear about Lincoln Riley and OU every single time I went. I'm like, guys, he's never going to get over the hump. They don't have the culture. That's a guy that would have way more focus on his offense than his defense. He's made some good hires at USC, but I'm still skeptical because he's the guy running the program. I don't think they're tough enough to get over the hump with him.
Yeah, this year is going to be really interesting.
Where'd you say that about Coach Riley? I had somebody who played under Herman at Texas and also played under Riley at OU. It's like, man, some of the stuff these kids get away with, Herman would never. Like, it's not no structure. You know, he's not strict at all. Everybody kind of does their own thing. So the fact that you just said that speaks.
Herman had a lot of faults, but his teams were tough. I mean, tough. Man, the second he got there, you know, Charlie Strong left them some decent parts, but Yancey McKnight really formed those guys into a much tougher group. And, you know, you could see it. What was that game on the road to USC 2017 where they should have won that game and they went. That was a good USC at the time. Clay Helton hadn't fallen off yet. And they gave them all they wanted. They went toe to toe. Texas, Tom Herman had some tough teams. Yancey McKnight did a good job of cultivating toughness in the culture there.
From what do you think was the number one issue with the Herman reign?
Himself, his hubris. Todd Orlando was probably kept on a year too long. I think that hurt. They, you know. Once they finally had the pieces for Orlando, Orlando was gone. You know, that was a problem. That's the
story of our coordinators.
But it was really, you know, Herman, I think Herman struggled with the locker room. You know, nobody really wanted it. People would not run through a brick wall for him. And then he lost a number of recruitments that were basically 100% on him. You know, he had some good things in place. He had a good personnel department with, you know, Carrington and Derek Chang. Were a perfect match. You know, one guy had his strengths and they played to that. Another guy had his strengths and they played to those. He had some good, I've always said that Tom Herman was a couple inches away from being a very good coach, but those couple of inches can be the toughest.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. All right, guys, before we keep going, let's hear from Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Days like this, the anticipation's half the fun. The call to adventure. Possibilities in every direction.
Look at that.
The stories you'll bring back. Right. Even the true ones. And always, already, you can't wait until next time. From first catch to biggest catch of the season, this is where it starts. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
Have fun out there. All right, so this week we got Monday, Wednesday, Friday practices.
Yeah, they're practicing right now.
Cool. And then that fan day, man. Have a good day with the family if you're going to do it. But, man, I wish we had spring games, man.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much I was going to miss the spring game until I saw the fan day. You know, I don't know.
Well, and also because you already got all of that stuff essentially at the spring game, you know? So it's had Bevo, whatever, Boulevard, all that. So it's like we got a little fair. We already had the fair and the spring game. So now it's just a little bit of a bummer. They're like, well, you get to meet the players. It's like we also got to do that at spring game. So it's just like there's really there's just a gaping hole here.
And meet the players. I don't think that – Well, I guess there are some old, adult male groupies out there, but that shouldn't do anything for anybody over 12 years old.
Correct. Know? Yeah. That and autograph hawks that are trying to sell it as soon as they get their autographs. But not a big fan of that. Hopefully we can find some way to get spring games back. You think they're just gone for good? Yeah. Under Sark maybe, but like
Jeff G brings up the most exciting aspect about that weekend is Aggie baseball. And we're going to have a tailgate on the Friday. Before that, inside Texas, we have details to follow on that, but we're going to have a tailgate at Dish for Texas versus A&M. So if you're in town that weekend, or if you live in town and want to come by, we'll have more details on the show and social media and the site.
Yeah, hopefully we can hold on to that number one. We're filming the baseball show at 12:30 today, so you'll see Nash and Evan. You know Nash is going to be to the moon, man. Texas baseball.
You have a ski mask on.
Yeah, he knows it's going to be a ski mask.
Somebody said that's the eighth program, athletics program, to reach number one for Texas this year.
Dude, it's crazy, man.
Wow.
Dude, wait till we're SEC ready, dude. Then we're really going to start. Wait until we're actually SEC ready, dude. All right. Coach, time to show. We had a big recruiting weekend. What's the latest there? What names do we need to know about? Who loves the Longhorns? Who sees what we're building? Who got to talk to their coach about their fit? Come on, give us the good stuff, man.
Look, man, this is becoming a who's who event. Like, going to Texas spring practices and scrimmages is like a thing, man. Like, the best of the best are starting to show up to these things, and Texas is putting on a show each and every time. I know Eric wrote about it. Like, he felt like Sark was going to put on a show, especially when you had the coaches in town and a big showing up of players in town. Like, Sark was going to show up and show out, right? But, then the list is long. You got Mason James, as you got up there, man. Samari Matthews, John Turntime, Bryce Perry-Wright, Chase Calica, Brian Swanson, Howard Jr., Xavier Griffin, yeah, KJ Edwards, Hayes Kent, Kosi Akpala. Like, the list can go on and on, man. These kids, the list was great, but these kids show up and they got to see exactly what they wanted to see from Texas, man. And it was just a great showing. These kids love the visit. Not only that, they got a chance to connect with each other and see the position that, hey, this is how Texas actually will be using me. See these coaches coach hands-on. I'd say that experience never really is discounted, right? Because you really get to see – a coach can tell you all sorts of things. This is how we're going to play, how we're going to do. When you get here, this is how we evaluate and develop you. When they actually get to see it and see the personality of some of these coaches, man, it's just great. And I think it's off the charts. I think a lot of these kids left very impressed with Texas.
Is it not sobering? Because to me, it's like you talk to these coaches very nicely on the phone. Hey, man, we love what you're doing there, whatever. And then you see them in practice, and they're not holding back. I would think sometimes it'd be like a culture shock.
Well, you want that, though. You want them to see you coaching hard, and you want that kid to understand maybe that's not for him, and it'd be best right. for both of you to not pretend that it is. But and as far as visitors go, and Texas has as much buzz as any team in any program in the country. Kids are coming by just to check it out. You know, maybe they're not going to get a lot of these guys, but the interest is there, the curiosity is there, their foot is getting in the door a lot easier than it has been in the past. I put out an article today predicting the class, and man, it is loaded with out-of-state kids. Loaded.
Yeah. It's nice to be back in a cool school, or the arena of the cool schools. That moved so fast, though. I remember A&M was the cool school a couple years ago. We were like, how do we get back? It's like, just win.
They didn't have the wins to follow that. That was not real substantive.
Yeah.
This guy's name is backwards, right? I mean, it should be Howard Hayward.
It's Ty Tong, but it's Hayward Howard. Look, I got a chance to see this kid a few weeks ago at OT7, man. Just a big range of corner, like big physical corner. And then you see the profile of some of these kids that Texas are recruiting at DB. They all look the same. That 6 foot, the 6'2 range, right? But this is a big kid. I know Terry Joseph offered him, right? And he was really close with Coach Joseph, but now he's close with Coach Orfe, right? And he was like, man, this guy can develop me too, right? I know I trusted Coach Terry Joseph, but Coach Orfe is not far behind. Like, I believe in what he's teaching. I see the development already in some of the guys on the field that he's coaching up. And so it was really, really good for him to get there. I got a chance to catch up with him before he made it to Texas. He's like, I'm going to take my notepad out there. I'm going to be taking all kind of notes to make sure I can make a great decision about Texas and about this visit. And so you talk about
that. He had a notepad?
Yeah, he had notepad.
Oh, I was gonna say that sounds like very Texas Longhorns behavior.
Find him right now. You know what? Here's the problem. I put in my cornerbacks. I guess there's gonna be some flexibility in the class. I guess because some of the guys they're after could play one side or the other. But I bet I would not be surprised if Terry Joseph is still recruiting. Right? You see that kid's from New Orleans. Terry Joseph has all the Medina Carr phone numbers that he needs. I would not be surprised. He's probably still hearing some from old Coach Joseph. But, it's another awesome option at cornerback. They've got a chance to blow that class up.
It's cool.
Yeah. But I love this kid. Look at Chase Calicut. You can't say too many things about Calicut, man. Big physical DB. He says he's not a corner. He can play all four spots, right? But Calicut, man, he's a character. But this kid, man. I just see him in the class, but this kid is great, man, athletically. But getting him back on campus was huge. He got the time to spend time with Coach Sark, as you see there in the picture. But he talked about Coach Orfe. He's from the same high school he is, at North Shore, right? Coach Akina, he talked about them recruiting him while they were at their other schools. So he's had a great relationship with the DB coaches, but now that's kind of continued. And you kind of see that a trend with all the defensive backs that they're recruiting, all the players they're recruiting. No matter if the coach was here before, they were still recruiting. So they already had a relationship. And they're just continuing to build that. But now they got the Texas logo on the chest. That makes it even better.
Did you say that he said he's not a corner?
No, he said he's a DB. He can play all spots.
Well, that's rare, dude. He
feels like he can play all spots. But he has
that kind of good. But most of the time, they're like, I'm a corner. And it's like, all right, dude. But I'm glad that he said.
Look, that ability, right? He said he got to watch some film. Coach Akina pulled up some film of other guys. I showed him Earl Thomas. He said some other guys he didn't even know, but they looked like him coming downhill just smacking people, right? Which that's his game, right? And so I thought it was great that Coach Akina ran the old dog still got new tricks, man. He's able to show film from other guys and pair that up.
Akina's breaking out the Earl Thomas tape.
Yeah, man.
He broke out all the highlight tapes and said he got the DBs all in a room, broke out the old highlights and said, I expect you guys to hit like this. He had his own like hype tape ready to grow on Calicut. It's like the second year in a row that they can use Jelani McDonald as a very good example, right? Last year they were using him with Jonah Williams. You know, Jonah's like, oh, they're going to play me all over like they do Jelani. Just run that same pitch back with Calicut. Calicut makes no bones about it that Texas is his leader.
Facts. You know what I love? Most of these kids, especially defensive backs, they always mention Michael Taft, man, as the guy who does things right, plays hard, always just around the football making plays. Like, it's not fluff. Michael Taft is a real dude. He's a real player. So you see so many recruits continue to mention his name, man, it speaks wonders.
Yeah, recruits were mentioning him before fans last year, which was downright sad. You know, fans watch every snap, and the kids are like, man, this Michael Taft guy's good.
Yeah. I remember last offseason, remember we were having to make fun of ourselves because it sounded like Taft was paying us to promote him because we were like, guys, he's good.
He's good.
But because everyone was like, five stars going to beat him out, whatever, five star. All right. It seems rare of late to have a recruit not feeling Texas post-visit. Curious what Griffin's perspective is. Depth chart, the main thing. That does sound consistent.
Yeah.
Elijah Griffin?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're just – oh, man, crystal ball for Nico to North Carolina, huh?
That's pretty cool.
Belichick's like, hey, I'm $4 million for a quarterback? That's a bargain. You see what I'm saying?
You know how much we've paid, Brady?
What? Elijah Griffin, I mean, they're scratching and clawing just to get an official visit out of him. You know, just because they got a guy on campus doesn't mean they're going to get him. They've got a lot of work to go with him.
Yeah. Sure that. And is this crystal ball official? I'll look that up during the
– I don't know. We call them RPMs around these parts, but I don't know who put it in. Yeah. Jeff G is on top of it. He's always got some good insights. So, Do they have any weapons for him?
Mm-hmm. 247. Yeah, if it's crystal ball, it's got to be 247, right? And Rivals is like a future cast or something. So many names. All right. What'd you think about the Nico stuff, guys?
That's wild. I don't know.
It's something that I said a long time ago. I think they went way too far in favor of the player. Sure. You know, obviously there had to be concessions made for the player because for far too long it was way too in favor of the university. It kind of became like a proxy for politics, you know, big business versus the worker. And it went way too far in favor of the worker. And right now I think they need to find a more middle ground. It was the portal and NIL, the confluence of each at the same time that just created the Wild West. I don't know anybody, and certainly nobody at Texas, that thinks that players should not be getting paid, they should not be achieving their market value and all that such, but you've got to have – it's got to be more set. It has to be more predictable. You know, people cannot make decisions with this unpredictability. You've got to nail the eval. You've got to nail the mental eval. Is this kid going to hold me over a barrel, right before a game starts? You know, but they're doing it in the middle of spring. They'll do it in the middle of the season, won't they? You know how much – so the difference between he was making two and a half, and then $4 million, you know what they could do with $1.5 million? You can get three stud wide receivers or three good wide receivers out of high school with that. So you're going to have to do what's best for your program. I'm glad they let him go.
Well, and they're also going to be like, what, at $20 million for their roster coming up? So a quarterback at $4 million, I mean, that's eating a good amount of cap too, like going forward.
It's some cap space for sure.
Yeah, because you have to start thinking that way too. That was
– his number one problem is he's not worth $4 million.
That's the issue, right? Like if your performance at the top of the sport – now somebody is going to pay him. So it's like I don't know if he's ultimately wrong in that regard that he won't get paid. He will get paid by somebody. Somebody in the market will do it, but yeah, it was. And we also don't know if it was Nico or just dumb older people in the camp too, you know, but it was funny because like Nico's going to take all this heat. This is going to be a thing, guys. Like this is just going to be a thing in the sport. We need collective bargaining and contracts. It's like they have that in the NFL. People still hold out. So this is just going to kind of be a thing that's going to occur, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's always an older person involved.
Well, I don't think they're thinking long term. A lot of these people are not thinking long term. Like, if you're an actor, you're not going to take a movie that's going to set your career back. You know, you want to advance your career, so you don't just take like, okay, maybe I can make a little extra money by doing this movie. And then everyone's like, what a terrible movie! That was a flop. Yeah. You know, why did if I'm looking to develop as a pro quarterback, I'm not sure I even go to Tennessee in the first place.
Exactly.
You've got to make smart decisions coming out of the gate. There's a happy medium between making the right decision for you long term and short term. And it, you know, maybe you take a little bit less money up front, but the bangs on the back end when you get developed and you're ready to play in the NFL and have a 10-year career.
Yeah,
you know, that's, some people are short-sighted. A lot of people don't have parents that think like that, or people, they're seeing the money right now because the parents probably didn't make great decisions in their own life, and you know they're seeing immediate money. And basically, they're teaching their kids the bad values to begin with. I'm not saying that's what's happening here. I don't know their situation. Maybe they're well off. They're from Hawaii originally, right? I assume everybody in Hawaii is. I watched this home renovation show, and it's like five family members are living in this house. It's like, you know, they're not even, it's not even like a nuclear family. It's like the grandma's there and all this, and the house is like $2.2 million. So
yeah,
I assume everybody in Hawaii is doing okay. But you know, you got to teach your kids to delay gratification. Play the long game. Trey Owens picked Texas knowing, hey, I'm going to have to sit behind Arch Manning, but I'm going to learn as much as I possibly can from one of the best mm-hmm. quarterback coaches and one of the best offense. It's going to prepare me no matter what is the next stop. If it's another school or if it's the NFL, I'm going to be prepared. I think if you go in that hypo offense, you're not going to be as prepared for the NFL as you would picking some others.
You won't. And also, Arch picked Texas knowing he was going to sit behind Quinn. And he's also the only quarterback of that class that didn't transfer.
Yeah, and he not only sat behind Quinn, he sat behind Quinn twice.
Right.
You know, when he signed with Texas, nobody in their right mind thought he was going to have to sit 2 years, and they still stuck by it. You know, obviously, and they're doing all right on NIL. And then, you know, and there's families, you know, his dad is.
Arch was all right pre-NIL as well.
Yeah, right.
They weren't really in a spot there financially.
Cooper's made a lot of good business decisions. So he's got his own money. It's not like Eli and Arch are floating Cooper money every month.
Right.
but yeah, it's still, you know, Arch picked Texas for the right reasons. He picked Texas at 5-7. So nobody can ever really question whether or not he had his the long play in mind.
The PR is where this went horribly wrong for Nico's camp. So it's like, look, if you're going to do the holdout, first off, do it after spring. You're going to lose some leverage, but you're not going to lose all of media and the fanship turning on you. And then to go after our boy Nikos like that, not cool, man.
Yeah, you know, it's basically, you know, they did what they accused Nikos of doing.
Right.
You know, they made up something that they knew wasn't true. They knew better than anybody what they were saying wasn't true about Nikos, and they still went after him. And then, of course, you can kind of see how that old debate will boil down between the worker and the business. So, like, everybody's on Nikos' side and his camp side, even though the camp is proven to be lying about it. So,
yeah,
they're a bit of pariahs right now, and they should be, and they owe Nikos an apology.
Yeah. Well, especially when you give it up the next day, that doesn't even make sense. Like, strategically, that made no sense, dude.
Yeah, a lot happened since that tweet, apparently.
Dude, because like,
did you see this rumor? There's no way this rumor is true, right?
Dan Lang was. I heard this too, but I don't know if I did. This is just laundered message board stuff that got to Twitter. But there was things that Lanning did tell Heupel that Nico was shopping around. But once again, that is not. That is like 50th hand knowledge.
Yeah. Oregon would never want somebody's players like that, right? You know?
Oregon. Correct. Yeah. Oregon's not known for trying to take people out ahead of time. Oregon wouldn't do something like that, would they?
Well, they've already got Deontay Moore, so they already know what it's like to pay for a quarterback. Yeah. Well, look who they got
last today.
They know what's up. All right. Before we keep going, guys, let's hear from Andre the Lawyer.
This video is brought to you by Andre the Lawyer. If you're injured, trust the team that secured millions for their clients and helped thousands of Texans with their injury case. Car wrecks, slip and falls, 18-wheeler accidents, on-the-job injuries, and wrongful deaths. Don't let insurance tell you what your claim is worth. Hire Andre the Lawyer to fight for you. Principal office is in Dallas, but they serve Texans throughout the state. So don't wait and call Andre the Lawyer today at 214-444-8808. That's 214-444-8808. The contact information is in the description.
Do y'all think Ohio State is in play for Nico? I don't know why you would after that playoff game.
No, I mean, they would get rid of their guy. I mean, Julian Sand is a stud. Yeah, you know, He's going to have some first-year lump. But you have to – you know, you just won a national championship. You've got all kinds of goodwill capital. You're going to have a bit of a buildup year. If I'm Ohio State, this is the buildup year for another massive year in 2026, when they'll still have Jeremiah Smith. So I think you take whatever lumps you have. If you bring in – look, Julian's going to play. The reason that Texas was off the board with Julian – and they, Texas would have got Julian if they didn't get Arch Manning, because right. Julian was in the yeah. following cycle. That kid's ready to play. So if you don't play him here, you're going to lose him.
True.
No, I don't think so. He might be better than Nico there, just, you know, being a game manager.
Yeah.
Everybody's high on Nico, but you look at Tennessee's offense. Find a quarterback that hasn't did well in that type of offense, right?
Well, that's the problem is that Nico didn't even light it up particularly.
He didn't light it up.
This fake offense that
exactly
forces people open all the time. Yeah, that's the tricky part. I saw some stat that he threw, I'm making this up, 15 touchdowns and nine of them were preseason, you know, or something like that, to where it was all not against real competition. So,
yeah, I just don't see Ohio State doing it. Sailor Joe is in here kind of thinking that Ohio State makes sense too. I just don't think you mortgage the future with Saiyan, unless Saiyan isn't who they think. And man, we had the eval on Saiyan. Texas loved that kid. So I would be surprised if he's not the real deal. You need some time.
Yeah. All right. Let's look.
They're not built to win the national championship. Put that $4 million towards winning it in 2026.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the players that will help you win it in 2026. You know, the guys that you can get this year but have 2 years of eligibility.
All right. Let's look at your fool's errand list, Eric.
Oh, Lord.
He's gonna go 100% on these guys. Yeah. This is a guarantee.
You said on April 14th they were getting Xavier Troll.
Yeah. Quarterback, we think we're gonna get Dia Bell. What leads you to believe that, Eric?
Well, he's committed.
Yeah.
Took an Uber from Dallas to go hang out with Clark.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No,
I love that kid, and he's playing it right. He's still talking to other schools just in case, because you never know. And obviously, other schools are gonna say, "Hey, look, Sark might go to the NFL." And so he's sort of, you know, barely keeping his options open. He's all in at Texas as long as Sark is there. That's exactly how you should play in this day and age.
Are we officially in the Sark's going to go to the NFL negative recruiting? Are we in that era?
I'm sure. I mean, if it's in the back of my mind, I'm sure coaches are pushing it. You can credibly push it.
Yeah.
They push a lot worse. So, I mean, yeah, I'm sure.
But also Sark got a raise, right? And that's kind of correlated. To potentially,
yeah, Smart got his what is now becoming his annual raise.
Exactly. The Harbaugh method.
Yeah, if I'm a prospect, I'm probably not worried about Sark going to the NFL unless he wins it all. And even I'm not saying that if they won it this year, I don't think he would leave. But if they won it after second year of Arch, yeah, maybe it's possible.
Yeah. Running back KJ Edwards, who I love, man.
Yeah.
And then
Home Xavier.
Runner. How do you say the last name? Well,
Kroll.
Kroll. I always say Crowell. Kroll.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reason I have these two is because it's, well, maybe Charlie can correct me. I'm not sure that they're really recruiting anybody else outside of these two. Certainly not nearly as hard as they are, these two. So they're the top guys. A&M seems to think they have a legit shot with Edwards. You know, in NIL era. Yeah, I suppose that's possible, but if he's Texas's number one guy in state, you know, I don't see him losing that. KJ, if all things equal, there was no NIL consideration at all, it wouldn't even be close. Wouldn't even be a debate. True. It would be Texas. So, and we'll see. And then, you know, going out of Alabama and getting a kid from Auburn or Alabama, it's not easy, but Texas loves this dude. Loves him. They loved him when Tashard was there. They loved him when he was in the 2027 class. They love him now. So. You know, we'll see. I just don't know who else to put in the class.
I wouldn't put anybody else besides those two. Texas got their sights set on these two, man. I think when they're all in on something, man, Texas usually wins and gets who they want. So,
yes, sir. All right, wide receiver, let's roll.
I'd be excited about KJ Edwards, man. I really love his game. All right, we have our commit, and then Aaron Gregory out of Georgia. Caden Finley, who we get asked about a lot out of Aledo. Mason James.
Gregory, you know, I'm not saying that guy's going to Texas. He's way, way up the board for the Horns. And again, it goes back to what Charlie was saying. When they're honed in on you, you know, they might know you're going there before you do. So I think they're going to make that one interesting. He'll take an official visit. He's committed to A&M. Nobody in the SEC thinks he's going to end up at A&M.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to, even if he's like made it through summer, still committed to them. Are they going to be able to hold on to him after this season? I mean, they've got some proof of concept wide receivers. They went strong in the portal for him. Maybe they can sell their passing game. I'm skeptical. Caden Finley, a lot of Notre Dame buzz. That buzz is certainly warranted. But I do think that things behind the scenes are a little bit more positive for Texas than you might believe just reading the message boards. We'll see. They've got some work to do, you know, Notre Dame. And you can kind of see that kid in that Notre Dame offense. He's a bit of a bully out there, but also athletic. Reminds me of a more athletic Jaden Greathouse. Yep. All the more reason for Texas to be all in on him.
Yeah.
Forget the fact that he's a legacy. That's great. That's a good story. That's a secondary story. The primary story is the kid's a baller and he fits what they're looking for. Physical, yeah. Athletic, good size. And then Mason James from Norman. We don't think he's going to end up at Oklahoma. We think he's headed out of state. He's just a dynamic inside outside guy. You know, you can get him involved at all three levels of the field. He's got breakaway speed. You know, it's a good way to evaluate wide receivers is what they do on the sidelines. When guys have angles on them, you can really get an idea of speed, and you can see him outrun angles quite a bit. Really, really good player. And right now they're in the honeymoon stage between Chris Jackson and James. It seems like I wrote here, there's cartoon hearts going back and forth between those two right now. Could be a little bit of a visit high, but we like how that recruitment is shaping up.
Yeah, first time I saw James and met him, got to talk to him. I was like, you visit Texas, you're going to like it. He couldn't wait to kind of get down there and just check it out, right? See the vibe and see the offense and everything.
Did he bring his notebook?
I don't know. He didn't bring his notebook, but he knows a lot about the program because he trains with Dalen McCutcheon, right? They got the same trainer in Marjorie Hook. So he has some positive feedback already about Texas.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Actually visited. He could see it all and kind of put it all together.
Yeah, I'm sure McCutcheon's telling him some good things because McCutcheon's doing well himself.
Shout out Marjorie Hooks. All right, tight end. As we continue to stack talent, Mark Bowman out of Modern Day, five-star tight end, would be a huge grab for Banks.
Yes.
Yeah, I talked to that kid last spring in person. He was highly rated. Obviously, he was in a different class at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way he talked about Texas was a lot different than most California kids because, you know, really he's from Colorado and grew up knowing Gunnar Helm. Mm-hmm. So that really helped him get his attention. Then he's in Southern California, and he's kind of saturated an ecosystem that's very pro Steve Sarkisian. Yeah. And then at the same time, he got to see Jatavion Sanders blow up. He's got to see Gunnar Helm go from take a step every year in his development. And Gunnar Helm blew up, about to get drafted, might get drafted higher than even Sanders was. And so there's proof of concept. I think the kid fits in well in Austin. I think family fits in well in Austin. I would be surprised if it wasn't Texas. Charlie, you've got one in for Bowman, right?
Yeah, I got RPM in for Bowman, man. Just talking to him and getting to know him.
Yeah.
That's some of the things he mentioned. He got to see Gunnar Helm, his boy, and that's my guy. So it was already one of my best prospects in this class anyway. But just talk about, he said Texas, the tight ends are actually part of offense, not a second or afterthought, right? They're actually in the game plan. He loved that. So, you know, the Texas thing is real.
When Sark first got to Texas, I said he can credibly sell every single position being a highlight position. You know, everybody thought, oh, it's the wide receivers, because at the time he had those four guys that went in the first round in back-to-back years. But then you look deeper, and it all starts with the run game. And then, oh, God, he's got a Heisman quarterback. And then all these offensive linemen are going into the NFL. And then, lo and behold, he's got tight ends doing all kinds of stuff. And so, he can sell every single part of the offense. Whereas you go to, Tom Herman, it was, if you're a slot receiver, you're going to get fed. Outside of that, you're probably not. It's just, a lot of coaches have a blind spot somewhere on the offense. You know, maybe they're dominant in the run or the pass. He's just, everything, even tight ends.
And we got another California guy here, too.
Yeah, I like Sorensen. They're going to have to get it, because Bowman might take his time. Being a reclass, a lot of times the reclassification guys want to be able to at least have, as real of a process as possible. They're shorting themselves a year. So I think they need to get a guy in this summer. Sorensen makes a lot of sense. Up and comer, pretty good blocker. Really was blocking as a sophomore. And then he showed more offense or receiving ability this year. Sorensen's a good one.
Coach, tell us about the offensive line. This would be the best offensive line class since the best offensive line class.
Look, you already got commits and Max Wright and Nicholas Robinson. And Eric got some video of him moving, man. I would not step in front of that guy if he was pulling coming at me. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. But you got Felix Ojo, John Turnentile, two of the best tackles you want to put. Then you got Zayden Crippen, who's not far behind him, if you ask me. Like, those guys are so talented. You know, I would say this. Technique-wise, mental-wise, like, they have it, right? They get on campus and get developed body-wise, and these guys are going to play early. And they all see the future. They all see the pipeline of Texas is getting guys drafted each and every year on the offensive line. They're being developed, right? And so this group here would be special. I mean, you put them all on the field, I mean, together, I don't know what D-line could hold up against them, honestly. That's how I truly feel about each and every one of them.
Hey, Robertson got that Under Armour game invite. You know, I watched every single offensive lineman they had run. You got tackles, and they look semi-athletic standing around. He ran the best out of all of them. I'm not saying he ran the fastest time because, you know, he's 330 pounds. He's definitely got some reshaping he wants to do. But also watching him warm up, his flexibility, he did not stretch like the average 330-pound kid. He looked good in shuttles. Once he reshapes his body, you know, we talk about DJ Campbell leaning up. Once he gets in that college strength and conditioning, Robertson could be really damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him on film too. You see him, they kind of run no huddle. I mean, you see him block a guy 10 yards downfield and he's sprinting back to get lined up. It's like, all right, this kid is kind of different. Even though he's a bigger kid, like, he has a different mentality and conditioning. So, King, like you said, when Coach Beckton get his hands on him, oh my gosh.
Yeah. He's got, you know, he's already playing tackle. He's going to be pretty good in pass pro for a guard. You know, he's not going to be, they're not going to be asking him to go up against 210-pound defensive ends or edges like he is in high school. So, and you're not going to be able to bull rush him. So, I'm pretty high on Robertson. I'm glad he got that invite. And based on what I saw at camp, he definitely deserved it.
Yeah, and there's this weird dichotomy where people are like, I like Ojo or I like Turn Time better. Stop that, man. But like, go watch both of their tapes. Those guys are incredible, man.
Yeah, and the weirdest thing is everybody talking about Turn Time at guard. Go watch Turn Time.
Watch his huddle.
Have Turntine stand next to Nicholas Robertson and tell me that Turntine's a guard. What the hell are you smoking?
Yeah, exactly.
The goal will be to get Turntine back up to 310 pounds. And, you know, that's right. I don't think that'll be a problem because I've already seen him be 290 pounds. Yeah. That's not a concern. Crimpin is, to me, is the tough call because he's good enough to be a tackle. I think he can play tackle in college.
Yep.
Everybody's going to negative recruit Texas if they have Ojo and Turntime. It's going to be very tough to get a guy like Crimpin right. in the boat. It'll be very tough to get a guy like Roseborough in the boat. So they might need to look for another sort of somebody similar to Max Wright, but more of a guard tackle swing guy, where Max is going to be a tackle. I don't think Max playing guard. It's got a chance to be a really good class. Get Ojo, Turntine, and you already like Robertson and Wright, and then try to find you the fifth best guy that you can. Yeah. Evers, let's talk about Evers. Why don't I? You know, I forgot about Drew Evers. They need to be on that kid. That kid's gonna get drafted.
I definitely is. Evers is definitely gonna get drafted, and he's open to playing center too. Like, so he can play another versatile guy who can kind of play all spots. I know he plays tackle in high school, but he can play guard. He can play center. So there goes your swing guy who can kind of help in and be that fifth guy.
If you look at Evers' numbers and they're not public, but I saw them from his Dallas Under Armour camp. He's right in line with what a guy's going to be drafted. And then we also know he's got the mental attributes that Texas would look for even in the center. So he could play guard. And then he could probably play emergency tackle in a pinch if you absolutely had to have it, kind of like Trey Hopkins back in the day. I wish they would go in on Evers if they can't get Crimpin or Roseborough.
Oh. Edge.
I'm straight up throwing spaghetti against the wall here.
Well, Dre Quinn and then Richard Wesley, who's a reclass. Yeah. I watched his tape. Anytime I hear like an edge reclassification, I'm not that excited. I'm like, is this a money grab? And it's not. This kid, that kid is good, man. So Richard Wesley is the one that I was super intrigued by when I watched his tape.
Yeah, Wesley would be like, he's perfect because you're going to have, you know, it's not like the next guy that they get that plays Jack is not going to just all of a sudden jump Lance Jackson. Right. So it's actually wouldn't matter if they have a reclassification guy. And then on top of it, he doesn't look like a reclassify. I agree. Yeah. But it would kind of be like taking Smith Orogbo behind Colin Simmons because, like, they couldn't possibly take anybody. Lawrence Taylor's son could come out tomorrow and he's not going to jump Colin Simmons. So you might as well take a guy that's going to require a little bit of time to develop.
Yeah.
So Wesley being a reclass behind Lance Jackson, that would be That'd be ideal. And then Drake Quinn, really loved Texas. You know, Justin Wells talked about it a lot. Like, you know, just the vibe, the atmosphere. You can tell it when guys are really surprised by how much they like it. Drake Quinn had that feeling. They've got to take three, though. And I don't know. I don't have a clue who would be the third one. I've got Jerelyn McCoy there if Leallen Clark and him can continue building a relationship. But they've got to take three. Collins, a three-year guy. Burke is gone. Umiozulu is great. He might end up – once he actually plays, it's not going to take long for him to be off to the NFL, I don't think. Vasek has some injury concerns. And then Arogbo is a pure buck that's going to be, you know, going to be require some more physical development. So they need three guys no matter what.
And even in the future, Lance Jackson's going to be three and out, calling it.
Yep.
So even like when you're looking 3 years down the road, man.
Yep. Yep. You got to keep stockpiling them. And you need to take a jack in every class. To me, I say it every year, you got to take a jack in every class like you have to take a left tackle.
Yeah.
Sure that.
Defensive tackle.
Winfield. Well, we've got the world's foremost expert on Jamie Winfield right there at the bottom down there.
Definitely.
Right there where Cindy Brady normally is. What you got, Charlie?
Look, I would say, look, thank you, USC, for playing. That's how I feel about it. You know, I just went by and caught up some sources close to Winfield, and that recruitment's far from over. I really feel like Texas at the end of the day is going to be the destination for him. Look, mom loves Kenny Baker. She loves the school. She loves what Texas can do for her son outside of football. That's what's most important, right? But Jamie does too. And I think he has a great relationship with Coach Baker. And, man, I think he's going to stay close to home at the end of the day. Like I said, USC was very aggressive in their approach. He ended up committing, but this is going to be a horns win at the end.
Yeah, that's the one I feel good about. The rest of them, man, who knows? You know, we talk about it all the damn time. Anytime we mention D-tackles and recruiting, the NIL is going to be a major factor. Scarcity drives the market. It's going to, you know, it's going to end up being a roller coaster. You know, even Winfield's, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, right? It kind of reminds me a lot of Josiah Sharma's recruitment last year, where we were hours away from getting a Josiah Sharma to Texas commitment. We had all the articles written, videos and all that, and it's, you know, NIL.
Yeah.
But like I wrote right here, you know, Winfield's commitment to USC is about as solid as Justice Terry's was to USC last cycle. So we feel good there. And then the other three, they just make a lot of sense. You know, it's going to be guys – it's either going to be them or guys like them. Vodney Cleveland, to me, is the one that I feel like they really need to win. I wish that kid had moved to Texas too, like Winfield did. Getting him out of Alabama is going to be tricky. But he's big. I compared it to the Sidir Mitchell recruitment, where maybe it's not the highest profile guy, but he's giant and he moves extremely well, and the big blood, the blue bloods are going to be coming after him.
What I think is important here too, man, I love to see Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia. So we're fighting for the big guys where we need to be fighting for them.
And if you went by birth certificate, you'd have Mississippi in there too.
Mississippi, yeah.
Who costs more right now on the market, a top edge or a top DT, roughly?
I mean, well, I was about to say I need a comparison. Well, I can compare Collin Simmons to Justice Terry.
Yeah,
I would say Justice Terry, but you know, there's a little bit different factors there too, right? You had to go into Georgia and what do they call it? Extricate? What do you call it when you
extradite?
No, that's he wasn't arrested.
I just think of extradite taking them from a place.
Extract, to another extract. They had to pull an extraction out of Georgia for him.
Yeah.
So that's going to drive the price up a little bit. But yeah, I think it's probably if it's apples to apples, it's fairly even. It's not like talking about left tackle and a guard. It's pretty even.
I just know the DTs are so competitive in NIL. I was just wondering what their market value is right now, because it seems like it's a lot. You also generally end up taking more of them.
It's also different. It's different where, you know, there's more guards than there are tackles, and still tackles. So tackles are going to be necessarily more expensive. It's also a more important position. Yeah, I don't know that there's more high-level D tackles than there are edges, so that's going to drive it up too. There's more elite edges than there are elite D tackles.
Yeah, there's just by nature of size, there's less people that weigh that much as a defensive tackle. All right, linebacker. Was it you, Eric? Was it your article or Joe's?
I put an RPM for Okpala. I meant to hyperlink that. I forgot to hyperlink that. But yeah, really athletic kid, long athletic kid. Twitch, really good in pursuit. You know, you know, he can make up ground real quick. Going to be a really good blitzer.
Yes.
Probably a will linebacker for Texas. Kind of like, you know, I could see them using him like they used DeMarvian. And, you know, I think he's underrated. If you look at this, if you look at a size athletic athleticism combination, he looks like a top 100 kid.
Yeah, he does.
But, you know, a bit of a projection because he doesn't play off ball nearly as much as he plays edge. So he works with Donnie Bags. Donnie Bags works with all the best Houston linebackers. So he won't be as behind as some other kids, but he definitely has to learn the position. And, you know, I just went with in-state guys here because I do think they'll take an out-of-state linebacker, but I couldn't hazard a guess right now.
If they are right, California, is that the guess with Nansen? Like,
yeah, West Coast.
Well, yeah. I don't know. There's some interesting guys in Georgia. And you know, I don't think we're done hearing about some of these guys, you know, like Tyler Atkinson. Obviously, that guy's all Georgia. Justice Terry was not going to Texas this time last year, right? I mean, they're going to
–
Anthony Hill is going to be a great avatar for them to use to sell. Like, hey, come be the – Anthony Hill's going to win the Buckus this year or get damn close. You know, that's a hell of a selling point. Anthony Hill's not hurting for NIL. What else do you want? So Texas is going to open up some eyes. It's going to be an – they're going to get a good out-of-state guy. I just don't have a clue who.
Cool. Safety, we talked about Chase Calicutt earlier, but also Yaheem Riley.
Yeah.
Joe put something on him.
Yeah, somebody up here asked about Jet Washington, and Jet Washington is a guy that Texas is on pretty good. I don't think that one's going to be all that affordable. So, and here you have – sometimes it's economics, right? I mean, you know, I got excited when Texas got Matt Trey and Nick Robertson because I don't think that's going to actually – you know, that allows you to go really big elsewhere. So, you know, Jet Washington, that's – I don't know, getting that kid out of Bishop Gorman is not going to be easy. Yaheem Riley right in your backyard. He's somewhere between Andrew Mukuba and Xavier Alford as a prospect to me. I'm not saying he's Andrew Mukuba, and Alford's a pretty good player.
I was going to say, I like that.
Yeah.
Like, those are good players.
Without Alford's injury history, you know, he's an even better player, and he had a good year. Yeah. So he's right in line with those guys, and he's right in your backyard. Let's not overthink this. He decommitted, you know, 5 minutes after being at Texas. Dwayne Aquina is giving him plenty of attention. I think that makes a lot of sense. But there could be some other things I don't know about. You know, they losing Terry Joseph and Blake Gideon, this would be about as good as you could normally hope. That's a huge blow to recruiting safety and corner. You know, Gideon and Joseph did a good job a lot of times in tandem. You know, Joseph got Derek Williams. Gideon, you know, killed the Jonah Williams recruitment. They had a good thing going there. This would be awesome considering the transition that they had on the coaching staff.
Yeah, I like Riley a lot just because who he trains with is the exact same trainer that has Jadae Barron, Michael Taft, Andrew Mukuba, right? The same exact guy. So I feel like technique-wise, he'd be able to come in and play, right? Because he's around those guys already and working side by side with them. So keep him home.
Yeah, and the DBs now, man, if you're from Austin, you're not looking to go away anymore. You know, it was like everyone was dipping out on us, but you're at Austin LBJ, man. Come hang out. Cornerback, this would be a crazy class. And Eric says this corner class is too good to believe, which is because that was my first thought when I read it. But
I'm getting my own hopes up here.
Yeah.
I wish we had that tweet, Jalen Lott making that catch this week. It was ridiculous. About as athletic a thing as you'll see on the football field. He skies for the ball. He catches it in traffic. He's floating, floats a little bit longer, lands about 10 feet past everybody. It was just sick. Just a freak athlete. I hope he plays corner, whether it's at Texas or elsewhere. I don't care.
Yeah.
I just hope it's at corner. I hate it when I see a guy like, you know, Nelson Agholor is one I always go back to. If Nelson Agholor had played safety, I think he's been, you know, an all-timer. Mm-hmm. Jalen Lott, Nelson Aguilar's safety tape was just ridiculous. Jalen Lott, I hope he plays corner no matter where he goes. Texas was going to get him. You know, Texas was going to get him had they had Joseph not left. Jermaine Bishop, total freak, really athletic guy, underrated, you know, on three. We underrated him at on three for some reason. And then he keeps making their top 7-on-7 list like every week.
He killed it again this weekend, man.
He made a perfect
play in cover two. Jammed the guy and was sinking, played short, and then still picked the ball off behind him. Like, dog, he's just different. Batman is showing out.
Yeah, yeah. So when I told a Texas source that I thought Jalen Lott was a 5-star, he agreed and said Jermaine Bishop is a 6-star. So yeah, Texas leads there. I feel good there. And then Samari Matthews, again, we've got the world's foremost expert on Samari Matthews right beneath me.
Yeah, definitely. I've been getting a chance to just catch up with Samari, man. Look, this is one of those kids that kind of grew up, even though he's not in Texas, feel like he grew up in Texas, right? Just always been intrigued by the program. We'll have more on him later today. I know Justin, we got a chance to talk to him, but I'll talk to him post-visit. He loved his visit. Exceeded expectations this weekend being in Texas, right? He was so intrigued about getting there. He couldn't wait to get there. You know, most people, you can't wait to get to a place and then it's a letdown. It's almost like one of those Instagram photos. You see somebody posting it, you get there, it's like, oh man, what's this? Not with this kid. Like, he got there and Texas exceeded his expectations. He got to see everything he wanted to see. So
it kind of reminds me of Christian Clark recruitment, where they had such a strong foundation in that recruitment before he ever visited, that all they had to do was do good on the visit, and then you felt like, okay, that's going to happen. Yeah. The foundation was so solid. We felt Texas led for Clark before he ever even visited. Then the visit lived up to expectations, and it was a wrap after that. I'm not saying it's just like that, but it has some of the hallmarks.
Yeah, definitely.
And then look at Eric here, baby. Don't say we're not providing value at Inside Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Eric with his kicker prediction for Gaston Grammatica. Eric, yeah. Break down his game for us. I know you love kickers. What do you love about his game, dude?
But my favorite thing about him as a kicker is his jeans.
Oh, there we go. Cool.
That is.
There we go.
Hopefully he has better tendon structure and cartilage strength.
Dude, all I really like about him is his kicks, dude. I think his kicks are so cool, man.
I was going to say, I love that he's right. I didn't even know if he's right foot or left foot. I haven't watched.
He can do both, man. I'm sure of it.
Yeah. Now, hey, he's visiting right now. He's on campus.
Cool. And then coach is going to have an RPM later on today, right? You're going to have that. So make sure to hop on Inside Texas, guys, to see that RPM pick, because now we're starting to finally pick up some steam in recruiting. We're getting more guys on campus. $1 for 4 months. Go sign up. Hell of a deal. You guys won't regret it. All right. Chat, thank you guys as always. Eric, thank you. Coach, thank you. And you guys have a wonderful day. Hook 'em. And this was brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors.